Angie for breakfast. Triple M's inbox.
Well, hello, and thanks for stopping by the Triple M inbox. I hope you're here with a beautiful open mind, ready to have some big conversations. This week has been Reconciliation Week, and the theme is Be a Voice for Generations. And for some people in the chat this week, which is a little bit longer than it usually is, being that voice for generations was never an option, and it has been thrust upon them. For others, it's something that they've found their way to through their life experiences. We're seeing real shifts at the moment through Australia in terms of being fascinated and enchanted and curious about Indigenous culture compared to being scared of it, which, you know, a lot of people have been scared to ask questions and talk about it, and it's sort of brings up uncomfortable things, whereas now we're seeing people, you know, really curious, Indigenous tourism, arts, culture, sport, you know, it's everywhere for us now and people are really taking to it. So I think it's a really great opportunity this year to have a big chat about it on commercial radio. And it doesn't really happen. People would probably expect big chats like this on ABC or really big platforms, but I figured in my own little way that with the crew that join in and share brekkie with me in the mornings, I thought, nah, we're all adults. You know, we can have this chat. It's being taught in schools. And so this week I invited a number of people to come on the show to share different experiences of reconciliation. On this podcast, I've got Max Jetta right at the end to talk about his experience as an Indigenous man in Western Australia in the Southwest. And I'm not going to lie, it's real. Then I also caught up with the youth mayor of Bunbury, Michaela, just to see, you know, the younger generation than I and what's been taught at school or what was she taught at school. And first up, I'll introduce you to Nick from Collie. He's just a lad who I saw make a presentation at the Reconciliation Walk in Bunbury last week, and he had a really profound impact on me and showed me a way where I can bring more to this space and try harder and continue to learn, and I really appreciated it. So we'll start there. Strap in. Thanks so much for joining us on Reconciliation Week.
So I'd like to start with an acknowledgement of country. This is something that I've learnt during language and culture classes over the past few years, and I'll give it in the ancient language of Noongar. So Kaya, Nyangang Kwel Nik, Nung Wajulamaman Nyining Wilman Budjak, Nung Kadich Nija Kuro or Kwabadok Budja, Nija Wadandi Budja, Nung Kadich Noongar Birdia Kuro or Ye. So I said, hi, my name's Nick. I'm a non-Indigenous man who lives on Wilman country up in Collie there, and I'd like to acknowledge this beautiful and ancient land as Noongar country, and I'd like to acknowledge the Noongar elders past and present.
I mean, it shouldn't be such a big deal, but it really is to hear someone speak so eloquently that has learnt this, you know, sort of coming from the outside perhaps as some mm-hmm. people might perceive it. And it's something that I recognise in myself that I absolutely need to be better at and incorporate into the show and when I host gigs and things like that. So thank you for, you know, being a real true inspiration.
Oh, thank you.
I think sometimes people feel like it's not for them if you don't have Indigenous ties. So I'm quite curious if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and how you speak the way that you do in language.
Well, I'm a medically retired Army veteran. I've been medically retired for about 10 years. So I was a stay-at-home dad and stuff like that before I moved down here. And it was just sort of, I was always into sort of mysterious Australia and some of those sort of ghost stories and things like that. And my ex-wife found one day some language and culture lessons popped up on Eventbrite. So I went along and started to learn, and I just sort of fell in love with the culture and the language and the connection you can develop through learning that, and just sort of kept plugging away at it. And, you know, even through COVID, it sort of slowed down a little bit, but I did some online stuff with the Curtin edX course that they run online. And then moving down here, I sort of connected with the local community here and then found the lessons in Harvey at the Harvey Community Resource Centre and continued on. And yeah, so it becomes like a family feel with Aboriginal culture, I believe. And then ultimately I was invited along to speak on the National Reconciliation Walk in Bunbury here to share my story and my thoughts on reconciliation.
Something that you talked about on the stage on Friday at the walk was your take on reconciliation, and I would just absolutely love to step back and leave the mic to you on this one.
Thanks. For those who weren't there, I started with, I asked the question, so what is reconciliation? And if we look at the dictionary definition, it's sort of where two people or groups come together and sort of come together after an argument and figure it out. And so I was thinking about it when I was sort of writing some notes for that speech, but what does it mean for us here today? And I thought, well, for me, it's a journey, it's a learning journey. And ultimately, it becomes a healing learning journey. So if we look at over the past sort of 235 years across the country of colonisation and the things that have happened that potentially my ancestors have been part of, non-Indigenous ancestors, you know, there's dispossession of land, there's the frontier wars, the stolen generations, which the march was on National Sorry Day, which is when they tabled the, Bringing Them Home report about the stolen generation. So we're there to commemorate the strength of those survivors of those things and stuff like that. It's about learning and educating yourself, because a lot of these things, like those things that I've just mentioned, they're not taught in schools, or when I went through school, they weren't taught in schools.
Not for me either.
Yeah, and it took, over the last sort of 6 years, I've done a lot of reading and, you know, watch documentaries and just listen to stories and things like that. And you start to think, well, hang on a minute, this is what's happened. This is quite a shameful thing to happen for a Indigenous population in a country. And no one's blaming us right now. But we need to acknowledge this stuff and work together to move forward. And I guess I used a term that I've learnt through language, and that's Danju Kuling, which means coming together or going along together. And when if we as non-Indigenous Australians, and I think it's our responsibility to go out there and seek out this sort of stuff and to reconcile with Aboriginal people, when we come together and we sit and have a yarn, and we talk about these stories, yeah, it's sad, it's hard, but we can heal together as a nation, as one people, and we can, what's the word I'm looking for? I've gone a bit blanky now.
No, that's all right. I think we're all feeling what you're saying here. Yeah. And I think it's this is why I asked you to come on the show. You've got a great insight into, you know, quite often we, speak to Indigenous people in media, you know, in the politics and things like that, who walk in two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think as a Wadjalah man who's had this insight and this education, you're sort of walking in two worlds from a different angle. So I think that's why it was really important to me for you to come in and share what you've learnt. And if just quickly before we wrap up, if you could recommend one thing for anyone listening to Triple M this morning to be like, all right, cool, yeah, what do I do? What do we do?
Just have a look on Facebook, on socials for those cultural events, and just start going along. Like the Noongar people, they're not going to come up to you straight away. Some of them might. But the more you go along, the more you seek it out, the more they'll notice, and the more we'll be able to come together.
Well, thank you so much for your words, and to the elders who have passed the words on to you, and
very
the stories
so.
and the knowledge and the culture.
Thanks for having me.
I just really enjoyed Nick's laid-back, blokey approach to the whole situation, and he had the crowd in the palm of his hand, and knowing a little bit more about his background and where he's come from, we probably never thought he was going to be a captivating, motivational speaker, but there you go, just people every day in the Southwest. And my next chat is with the youth mayor of the city of Bunbury, Michaela Kerwin, talking about her experience of reconciliation.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Angie.
And I think so many people in the audience were moved by what you said and to the way you said it and your genuineness and you know, the excitement in your voice and the respect that you spoke with on National Sorry Day, that I thought it would be lovely to throw the invite open, firstly to meet you and then also to talk about your experience in, you know, what this week is all about and Reconciliation Week and learning and, you know, being a voice for generations. I thought I'd better have a bit of generational diversity on the show.
No, absolutely. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. It's definitely a very important cause to me, important for everyone, but something that I take very, very seriously and I think is very important for us. And I'm super excited to be here today.
Yeah. So Michaela's got an amazing story. Basically, bought a van, left her home on the northern New South Wales floods, fire territory, as we know it now.
Yep. Shout out Kyogle.
Kyogle?
Yep.
Never heard of it.
There you go.
Did a big trip with her partner, ended up in Bunbury, had to buy a house because you couldn't get a rental, which I know a lot of people will feel. And then you've ended up becoming this really amazing civic partner of the city in a really short amount of time. So there's a little bit of background there. But what I thought is maybe what you and I could share now is the difference in, you know, we're about 10 years apart from each other. When I went to school, in terms of reconciliation work and education around First Nations Australians, we had a day for NAIDOC week and we ate kangaroo and emu, and then we had a very Disney version of Australian history and never really got to the crux of anything. And I just wanted to see if you had a different experience in the education system.
Yeah, I think so. So through primary school, I was lucky that the area that I grew up in was very, I guess, innovative at the time. I'm really hoping that it's standard practice all around the place, where we would host these awesome big celebrations with people, particularly for NAIDOC week, and basically bringing the whole community together to celebrate all the cultures that are living within our community, particularly the local one there, which was on Bundjalung country. So celebrating Bundjalung culture alongside all the other cultures living in the area so that we could, as a community, just be a little bit more cohesive and actually work together, recognize our shared past and move forward with that. At school, we touched on particularly the first fleet arriving and learning about Bennelong and his story down in Sydney particularly, but more broadly, it was quite limited, unfortunately. And then definitely when I started high school, that's when it took a big drop off, and most of our learning was very Eurocentric. And then after school, I was lucky to learn more through uni and then, through getting involved in the community and chatting with people.
Yeah, well, that's the wild way to do it, isn't it? So I basically feel like I had zero education and it was just moving around Australia and living in different places that I've sort of learnt myself through an interest. But if someone's listening today that are like, I don't really know what Reconciliation Week is all about, or NAIDOC Week, or, you know, pertaining to the bigger question later on in the year of the voice and the referendum, would you have a recommendation just in your walk of life of something that would be great for people to read or look at or listen to that, you know, could help them sort of access a little bit more education?
Ooh, absolutely. I would probably firstly read up on exactly like what country you're living on at the moment. So we are chatting today here on Wurundjeri Noongar Boodja, which is friggin' beautiful, to be honest. Starting to cool down, but we have the absolute delight of being here today. And I'd encourage everyone to get familiar with their areas, the stories behind it, and the people who were living there before colonization and continue to live here. So a book that I really enjoyed was actually one by Stan Grant, who I know has been top of mind lately, and his book Talking to My Country. That was a really, really nice, kind of a nice foot in the door.
Gentle.
So, yeah, exactly. Just to get a little bit more educated on the background behind reconciliation. But mostly I think just moving forward, being more aware of the shared history of every area here in Australia and what that means for the local people who are continuing to live there or who maybe had to be displaced, and how that has ongoing impacts.
One of the most impactful moments I had in my journey through this, and I can only speak for me, was when I was in the Pilbara and a really good mate who spent a lot of time explaining a lot of things to me and giving me permission to ask 1,000 questions. And there was a particular massacre site and in some of the islands in the Dampier Archipelago. I don't know if anyone's heard of it, the Flying Foam Massacre. And he told me the story of that, and then he said, oh, and then guess what?
What?
He said, and I had to grow up living on the street named after the man that had killed my family.
Ugh.
And I just went, ooh.
Oh, yes, that's everywhere. That's everywhere in our current, towns and that sort of thing. So every street called Boundary Street.
People weren't allowed past the Boundary Street if they had a different colour skin.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think even just having this conversation with you and you know, the Triple M listeners, it might make us feel uncomfortable and it might make us squeam a little bit. And no. I think that's actually okay to sit in.
Yeah, it is. It makes me uncomfortable. It makes everyone uncomfortable because it's not a nice thing. It's not a nice thing for anyone to think about. One question for you, Angie.
Sure.
So something that I like to do is whenever I travel, which being from, you know, living in a van for a little while, I did quite a bit of in Australia. Each area that we were going to, I'd always look into what the local country name is for there.
Yep.
Do you happen to know the names of the local countries where you grew up?
So I was born in Cairns.
Cool.
In 88. And there wasn't a whole lot of public education in the, around that. And I was 3 when I left. And I haven't really been back. So pass on Cairns. I don't know. I lived in Canberra for a little bit. But apart from the word Canberra being an Indigenous word, I don't know anything about it there. I grew up in Perth and I didn't learn anything throughout my schooling. It was only when I went overseas and backpacked and then came back that I sort of started appreciating that side of the Australian culture and history. And so it was Ngarluma and Injibani country that I was on in Karratha. I've spent a lot of time on Bunjuma country around Karajini, Inawonka, Gurma, Eastern Gurma. And then I know about the Yuid and Bunurong. And then I make the effort now. So
Wow.
But the other thing is, I think you'll be impressed, is I have a document that I've saved that when I have Indigenous guests on and they're from, I ask them what country they're from and I ask them if they know how to say hello in their language, and I keep a little bit of a document. So then next time I have an Indigenous guest on, I can find out where they're from and see if I've got it in my document and I can say hello.
Very cool.
So I'm trying.
Another word that I recently learnt actually is Wodjala, which is
white
a word.
Fella.
Yep. Anyone who's not Indigenous. So you can start to throw that anywhere you want. Wodjala. Pepper it into your vocab.
some of my recommendations, if people do want to expand their horizons in a beautiful way, because there's a really harsh way of doing this and then there's some beautiful ways of doing this. Listen to some of Gina Williams and Guy Gauss's musical work. You can get it on Spotify. Singing in Language, absolutely beautiful. And then also there's a documentary in 2 parts on YouTube. It's called Exile and the Kingdom, Part 1 and Part 2. It was filmed in 1993 in the Pilbara, and it really does a great job of digging deeply into the histories of Aboriginal groups in the Pilbara and the reasons why there's friction in communities. And it's great. So that would be my recommendations.
Ooh, you give me some homework. Thank you. I'm appreciative. I'm excited.
I love that chat with Michaela. And there's not quite 10 years between the two of us in age, but there's already a big shift in perspective for the younger generations coming through, which is really exciting. Because now I'm going to catch up. Because my final chat on the podcast is with Max Jetta. Max, if you don't know him or haven't come across him, is a bit of a legend around these parts, especially in the footy scene. Last year, there was a huge controversy surrounding the club he was coaching for and the upper echelons of management. There was a big fallout. It was heavily publicised. And whilst I didn't want to get into that in this chat, I wanted to talk about Max's experience just living as an Indigenous man in the Southwest and share some of the similarities and some of the differences and what his reconciliation message is. And this for me to do, we did this live in the studio on a Friday. Well, it was really challenging for me because I was so encapsulated in what Max was saying. But at the same time, you know, I don't have a producer or anything. So it's me trying to keep an eye on the times of when the news has got to play and we've got to get to another song. And it is commercial radio format. So you have these really big conversations sort of squashed in between a couple of pop songs. But in case you missed it on air, here's what Max and I talked about.
How you going?
Kaya, I should be saying.
Yeah, Kaya.
It's such a bad habit. That I've just, you know, you just get used to it and I've just got to break it because it should be Kaya. Like if we're in any other country in the world,
yeah, you
learn
would
how
be.
To say hello.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
So anyway, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good actually. Yeah, pretty hectic week. Yeah, busy. Yeah, Reconciliation Week is, yeah. And, yeah, 1 year since I did a stand, so everyone's asking questions.
Well, you know, so if you weren't around last year, it was full of drama in the Southwest Footy League. There were some incidents that took place and you stepped back from your role as coach the South Bunbury Footy Club and it got so messy, didn't it? I mean, how do you sum up last year?
Yeah, I think it just got blown out of proportion, really. I love it. Like it's good because it's out there. We're talking about it, which is one thing that, you know, you look about in past events is it's always been underneath the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's great. Like we got the opportunity to talk about racism and, you know, how to fix it. But yeah, it is a very touchy topic for a lot of people.
Yeah. So. And now this year you're coaching at Donnybrook. How's the team going?
Yeah, we're going all right. Yeah, had a big upset win at South got over us, but it was full respect. And you know there is a time where you, even playing on the football field, there's still a little bit of, you know, banter going on. So yeah, okay. You got to learn to keep going through, keep pushing. But yeah, we're doing all right at Donnybrook. Yeah, middle of the pack.
You've since the incidents and you stepping down and making a stand last year about racism in sport and in your field, football, here in the Southwest. You've since become the Reconciliation Advisor for the Southwest Footy League. How's that role?
Yeah, that role is being pretty full on at the moment. I've been having a lot of talks around Southwest. Not going to name any clubs, but yeah, that's what I do. I'm very respectful. But yeah, it's been hectic is what I can say.
Really?
Yeah, just a lot of answers. That the people think I can give to all their questions, which
is,
I can
say. Just fix everything, yeah. Like decades and centuries of racism.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Yeah, no, I'm only one person, but it's a great start. I think it's the first role ever in Australia. So to have
a high five on that.
I know.
That is change, man. Even just because you said to me before we listened to Barnsley there, you were like, oh, it's a lot. It's a lot. You are one person, but that's literally change already.
Mm.
So you know you're doing the thing.
Yeah, I'm doing something, which is a lot of people wish they can do. You know, be a part of something that, you know, they're really dedicated and, you know, passionate about, and that's me for sport and almost like just standing up for my people is probably one thing that I'm big on.
I think you touched on something there that I just wanted to come back to with the, you know, obviously it was highly publicised and reported on in the media, the club that sort of surrounded all the controversy last year. But it is interesting when I had conversations just around the office and with other people that are far more involved in footy clubs than I am, that there didn't seem to be surprise. Like it seems to be very accepted that, you know, things like that happen in clubs all over the country. And we're still seeing it right up to the AFL region. So with it being so systemic, what's one thing people can do in the round this weekend to just not stuff it up?
It's more about, I was saying, just probably report it and speak up, but also defend, you know, an Aboriginal person that's getting vilified on the footy field, because that's probably the first thing that I've been telling clubs, like, don't hide away, don't shy away from it, embrace it, help the person, you know, be more comfortable in a club, because like I said, you know, I was part of that club and I stepped away because I didn't feel supported. So a lot of, you know, other Aboriginal, you know, players, kids, you know, coaches could feel the same way. If not supported, they're going to step away.
What does support look like?
For probably, like you said, like it's reconciliation. It's not all about us doing everything, you know, and taking that first step. It's about us together. So as us as Aboriginal people, non-Aboriginal people, like it's more about, you know, coming over and just pulling that Aboriginal kid away and saying, you know, who was it? You know, like, can you identify that person? And then going, oh, cool, yeah, we know who he is. Step away, talk to him, make sure he's okay mentally. It does take a mental toll on a lot of us, which is people think it's okay. Like, we, you know, everyone gets told, move on. Like, it's just something.
Sticks and stones will break your bones. Names will never hurt me. It's a lie.
Yeah.
It's always a lie. It's a lie for everyone.
Yeah, it is. It's and it's a part where I was saying to a club last night, it's a part where we feel like we're no longer welcome on the football field, outside the football field.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That's awful, and I can't, like, it makes me so sad to hear that.
Yeah, it is. And I think I was saying before, like Stan Grant said it before, when, you know, we were getting racially vilified or put down, we hear that same call that was back in the day, like, you're not welcome in your country and who you are and, like, what you look like as well. You know, like, it's a big thing. Like, I'm going on and on about it, really.
Well, you know, and I've got to acknowledge there is a serious lack of diversity in commercial media, which I say in sort of public face-to-face events. It's harder to do on the radio. We've got a bigger audience and, you know, people are popping in and out. We're about to play a Paul Carrick song. But that's why it's important to have these conversations and to help and to do what I can, because it can't all rest on your shoulders, Maxie.
Nah.
So if we all know what we can do a little bit better to help, then hopefully we can lift that burden a bit. Mm. I better go into a song. Do you want to stick around?
Yeah, I'll stick around.
All right. It's Awesome 80s. Yeah. You were born in the 80s.
No, 90s.
Yeah, were you?
Yeah, 90s. Yeah, well, I'm younger than look.
You're lucky you made it to the show today. It's all 80s today on Triple M. Whether he wanted it or not has sort of been thrust upon him to be a voice for generations, and he's been a big player in the sports scene around the Southwest. He's currently coaching Donnybrook. He's the reconciliation advisor for the Southwest Footy League, just all-round top bloke who had a really rough year last year, so it's good to see you back on the wins, mate.
Yeah, thank you.
And I was just so thrilled to have you on the show and sort of to talk about some of the things that I reckon a lot of people don't even know is a thing. And you mentioned it to me on the phone the other day, and that's code switching. And we're not talking switching AFL for rugby league.
Yeah. Code switching is – we get taught it, you know, from a very young age, the way we hold ourselves, the way we dress – the way we talk. So I'm talking very slow today.
So you're real code switching.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, it's and I'm talking a bit more clearer. So when I'm at home, I'm talking fast. I'm, you know, yeah, I'm just a bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
And yeah, my missus is non-Aboriginal. She's just still astounded, like how I can just change like automatically, like, you know, depending on who the person is.
Must be exhausting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And I think everyone does it to a point. Like, I think there's a lot of school teachers that would feel that, like, bit of code switching. I feel it, but I think we're in the very shallow end of the pool, whereas the code switching you take on is definitely in the deep end of the pool, because what's the consequence if you don't code switch in a white filled room, shall we say?
I'd say I probably would intimidate a lot of people. By just the way I dress, like, usually I like comfy clothes. Everyone loves comfy clothes.
Maxie, yeah. I just wanted to highlight the UGG boots that are sitting under the table this morning.
Yeah, like, it's just all the little things which you wouldn't really pick up on, but, you know, like, I was telling people, like, I have to go get my beard trimmed up, like, today just to, you know, real look neat and nice, and it's more of trying to look approachable. You know, anyone is approachable, but for me, it's hard because I can't change the colour of my skin. And a lot of people do have a big impact on that. You know, I literally said to a footy club yesterday, like, I had an incident, would have been on the Wednesday, where one person almost walked in a pole because of the way I was walking. And I was like, oh, damn, I forgot. And then I changed it. And then you could see his
they
hole.
Were, like, intimidated.
Yeah.
And to get sorry, I'm just a bit emotional.
No, yeah.
So they got scared and then nearly walked into a pole to get away from you.
Yeah, and then I smiled and said hello, and then they're like, oh, yeah, how you going, mate? And I was like, yeah, it's always, like I said, code switching is always us, the way we do it. It's sort of like we wake up we put a different mask on every day, like we're choosing, you know, do I be the real honest Max today? Do I be myself? Do I talk up, or do I put this mask on where I'm quiet, shy, smiling all the time? Like, I'm never not smiling in the community, because if I am, I'm, yeah, like I said, I'm intimidating. I have this big frown. All us Jetta boys have a big forehead, so we try to hide that with hair, you know, coming down a little bit, wearing a hat. But
well, Max, I mean, you're an inspirational human being, and I don't, it sucks that you feel the weight of the world, and this Voice for Generations theme probably hits its home quite a lot. But thank you for coming in, and you're always welcome to come and join me. We can talk footy, we can talk life, we can talk, you know, struggles, we can talk about whatever you want, and I hope you feel like you can be yourself around me, because you're a ledge in whichever code you're in at the moment.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much for joining me on Reconciliation Week. It's a learning process for everyone, myself especially, as a presenter in this space. But thank you. And keep an eye out for an upcoming podcast. I actually spent a bit more time with Max off air and had another big conversation about The Voice and Stolen Generations, and we go into it a bit deeper. So if you want to keep an eye out for that one, then you'll be able to find it here on the Angie for Breakfast podcast. So thank you so much. Take care. You've been marvelous. I've been Angie.